Welcome back to the Run Home Rentals podcast. I am your host.
And this is episode 7 today. We're breaking down the best Nashville neighborhoods to buy a rental property in 2026.
Yeah, so Nashville is consistently ranked as like a top 10 investment market in the entire country. You know, everyone wants a piece of the action here.
Oh, absolutely. But there is a massive catch for anyone looking to invest right now.
Right, because buying in the wrong zip code today could literally mean you are personally bleeding $400 a month, every single month.
Over the next decade.
Yeah, the margins have just become incredibly tight. So our mission for this deep dive is to walk you through the guide we just published, and we're going to figure out exactly which neighborhoods actually fit your specific investment strategy.
And which ones will absolutely drain your bank account. And just to give you some context on where this data comes from, we at Run Home Rentals actually own and operate properties right here in Nashville. Yeah. Our team buys houses for cash locally. So the numbers we're unpacking today, like the rent comps, the profit margins, these aren't pulled from some generic national average on a blog somewhere.
No, it's real data.
Exactly. It comes from our active deal flow. This is the reality of what we're seeing in the trenches right now.
Okay, so let's unpack this. Before we even pull up a map and start circling specific neighborhoods, we need a serious reality check.
We really do.
We have to understand the massive macroeconomic shift that basically took the 2021 Nashville rental playbook, tore it up, and threw it in the Cumberland River.
Yeah, that playbook truly is dead. I mean, to understand why the market flipped, we had to look at the structural shift that happened between 2023 and 2024.
Right, the new builds.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Developers looked at Nashville's booming population a few years ago, and they initiated this massive pipeline of luxury apartment units. We're talking about roughly 16,600 units hitting the market.
Wait, 16,000?
Over 16,000, and in a very compressed time frame.
I mean, I remember driving around downtown a couple of years ago, and it felt like there was a construction crane on literally every single block. But that is a staggering amount of inventory to drop all at once.
It flooded the market. And the result is basically a textbook case of supply and demand. By early 2025, occupancy across the city had dropped to around 93.6%.
Wow.
Yeah. And suddenly, we saw negative rent growth on what we call Class A urban properties.
Let's define that really quickly for the listener.
Right.
When we say Class A, we're talking about like the shiny new high-rises, right?
Yeah.
The places with the rooftop pools, the dog spas, the quartz countertops.
Correct. The premium high-rent buildings. And because there were just so many of them now, property managers are desperate. They're throwing out major concessions.
But moving away rent?
Exactly. Offering 2 full months of free rent, just trying to get bodies into these buildings to satisfy their lenders.
So it feels like the luxury apartment market in the urban core is essentially a flooded valley. Developers just opened the floodgates with those 16,000 units, and there's way too much supply.
It's totally underwater.
Right. It's completely drowning the profit margins for anyone trying to rent out a condo downtown. Which means, as an investor looking for actual monthly cash flow, you are basically forced to hike up to the higher ground.
And that higher ground is the suburban rings. While the multifamily urban core is drowning in supply, single-family rentals, like your standard 3-bedroom houses out in the suburbs, are the clear winning asset class right now.
Because they're actually growing, right?
Yeah, they're actually seeing rent growth of about 3% year over year.
Okay, but why the massive split? Like, why are single-family homes surviving the flood when the luxury apartments aren't?
The primary driver is mortgage rates. With retail mortgage rates hovering around 7%, families who would normally be transitioning into buying their first home are totally priced out of homeownership.
Right, they can't afford to buy.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
They still want a yard, they want a driveway, they want to be in a good school zone for their kids, but they simply cannot afford a mortgage at today's prices and rates.
So they just stay put.
They stay put. They keep renting single-family homes. The demand for that specific asset class remains incredibly strong because the exit ramp to homeownership is blocked.
Okay, so let's ground this in real numbers for the listener. If I'm looking at a typical, say, $400,000 Nashville single-family rental today, and I'm getting a standard 7% retail mortgage rate, am I actually making money every month?
In most cases, no.
Really?
Yeah. Even if you put a full 25% down, a retail purchase in Nashville right now usually results in negative cash flow.
That's rough.
It is. You cannot just buy a property for generic Nashville growth anymore and expect it to automatically put money in your pocket. You have to pick a very specific lane.
Right.
You're either buying for cash flow, you're buying a balanced play, or you're buying strictly for appreciation.
Okay, let's start with the money in the pocket. Let's talk about the areas where you can still squeeze out a monthly profit. Because if the urban properties are bleeding money, we logically have to move out to the suburban rings where the math actually survives.
Right. So if monthly cash flow is your priority today, you need to focus on Class B and B plus single-family homes. These are your older, reliable, working-class neighborhoods.
And what are the numbers looking like out there?
Well, in these specific suburban areas, we're seeing cap rates running between 5.5% and 6.5%.
Let's pause right there, actually. We throw the term cap rate around a lot in real estate. If I'm totally new to this deep dive, what is a cap rate actually measuring?
Think of it as your property's yearly yield. It stands for capitalization rate. It's the net operating income. So your rent minus your taxes, insurance, and maintenance divided by the purchase price of the property.
Okay, so it's the return if you bought it outright.
Exactly. If you bought the house in all cash, what percentage return would you make in a year? So a 6% cap rate means you're earning 6% on the asset's total value annually.
Got it.
And in today's high interest environment, you need a cap rate that's at least somewhat close to your mortgage rate to avoid losing money.
That makes perfect sense. And looking at the guide we just published, the undisputed king of the cash flow category is Antioch. We're talking about zip codes 37003 and the southern part of 37211.
Oh, definitely. Antioch is arguably the most reliable engine for cash flow investors right now. You're looking at a median buy-in of around $250,000 to $400,000.
Which is pretty approachable for Nashville.
Very approachable. And rents are very healthy, usually between $1,800 and $2,500 a month. What makes Antioch work so well is that tenant base.
It's very steady.
Extremely. It has a massive, incredibly strong working class and immigrant community. There's intense, consistent demand for a standard three-bedroom, two-bath house.
You do have to be incredibly careful with the micro markets there, though. Like, I know from looking at our internal data that the school zones are a massive factor.
Oh, they will make or break your tenant pool. Antioch is geographically huge, and the school zone variations can significantly affect how quickly you can rent a place.
Yeah, and the type of tenant you attract.
Exactly. You can't just buy blindly in 37013. You have to do your homework on a street-by-street basis.
Okay, moving to the north side, we have our next cash flow champion, which is Madison, zip code 37115. Our latest article calls this North Nashville's affordable workhorse.
I love Madison. It offers a lot of older, like 1950s to 1970s ranch homes, and they often sit on really nice, spacious quarter-acre lots.
And the transit is great there.
It has fantastic public transit access straight down Galton Pike into downtown, which is a huge selling point for commuting tenants. Plus, because it isn't as, you know, flashy as some other suburbs, you see a bit less national investor competition here.
But there's a massive warning label on Madison, and it has to do with water.
Yes. You absolutely must check the FEMA maps before you make an offer.
Always check the maps.
Madison is bordered by the Cumberland River and has several creeks running through it. There are streets that are notorious floodplains. If you buy a house there without checking, your mandatory flood insurance premiums will instantly destroy any cash flow you thought you had.
Good to know. And rounding out the cash flow list is Donaldson, zip code 37214. This one makes perfect sense geographically because it's right near BNA, the International Airport.
Donaldson provides incredibly stable demand. You have airline employees, traveling professionals, and a really large concentration of healthcare workers who want to be close to the airport and the major highways.
What's the typical property look like there?
You're generally buying solid 1970s to 1990s brick ranches. Cap rates sit at a solid 5 to 6%. The main hazard to watch out for, naturally, is aircraft noise.
Especially on that eastern edge closest to the runways.
Right, you have to be careful there.
And this really highlights why our Run Home Rentals team is so focused on finding distressed or off-market inventory in these specific areas. Like, because we buy houses for cash, we often uncover properties that might need some love or just don't fit our exact retail strategy.
Yeah, we're in these neighborhoods every single day, finding the margins that typical retail buyers completely miss. Finding the deal is the hardest part of the equation.
Absolutely.
And paying full retail price makes it very difficult to cash flow in any zone.
Okay, so that covers cash flow. You might put $200, maybe $400 a month in your pocket. Which is great. But I mean, a lot of investors don't just want a tiny monthly dividend, right? They want that equity growth.
They want the big payout later.
Exactly. They want the house to be worth significantly more in 5 years. So how do we find the sweet spot that balances both?
To get that balance, you generally have to move slightly closer in toward the city or into more established historic pockets.
And what does that do to the math?
Well, your cap rates are going to drop a bit down to maybe 4.5% to 6%. So your monthly cash flow is thinner, maybe even break even. But your 5-year appreciation trajectory historically jumps up to 25 or even 50%.
Wow. Okay, so our guide highlights Hermitage, Old Hickory, and Englewood for this balanced approach. Let's start with Hermitage. Zip code 37076.
Hermitage is what I call the ultimate sweet spot for a long-term hold. You get really solid 1970s to 1990s subdivisions, mature trees, reliable school zones.
And the tenant retention is supposed to be amazing.
The data shows incredible tenant retention here. Tenants get into these homes and they stay for 3, 4, even 5 years because it's just a great place to raise a family.
Which saves you so much money.
Exactly. Low turnover means you aren't paying leasing fees and cleaning costs every 12 months.
Then you have Old Hickory, zip code 37138. Now, this has a completely different vibe than the typical subdivision.
Oh, entirely. It's lakefront adjacent, and it has this incredible historic small town village feel. It was originally built as a company town for the DuPont plant.
But it's still super close to the city.
Yeah, you're still only 25 minutes from downtown Nashville. Tenants absolutely fall in love with the character. And crucially, the housing supply there is incredibly tight.
Why is it so tight?
Because you're geographically boxed in by the river and the lake. Plus, there are historic overlays that prevent developers from coming in and tearing down the old homes to build dense townhouses.
Ah, so they literally can't overbuild it.
Right. That restricted supply keeps rents strong and continually drives up the underlying value of the property.
And then there's Englewood, zip code 37206. We call it East Nashville's quieter cousin. It has the historic homes, the tree-lined streets, and it's walkable to places like Riverside Village.
But it doesn't have the completely overheated price tag of East Nashville proper.
Right.
The gentrification has pushed steadily north over the last decade, and Englewood is capturing that upward value shift.
You know, buying in Englewood feels like buying stock in a fundamentally sound tech company.
Right before it hits its peak value.
Yes, exactly. You're getting on the trajectory, you get all the upside of that growth moving north, but you aren't paying the massive, fully baked-in premium that you would if you bought the stock at its absolute highest point.
Yeah, you're buying the momentum.
Which naturally leads us to the places where the premium is already fully baked in. Let's look at the trendy neighborhoods everyone is always posting about on social media.
Expensive ones.
Yeah, the places where cash flow goes to die, but equity supposedly skyrockets.
Right, so these are the strict appreciation plays. In the guide, we break down East Nashville, Sylvan Park, and the Nations.
Let's talk about Sylvan Park and the Nations because they represent two very different types of appreciation. Sylvan Park, zip code 37209, is known for that charming, walkable, small-town feel right in the middle of the city.
And it has extremely limited inventory. The neighborhood association and zoning laws are very strict about maintaining the character of the area.
So no big apartment blocks.
You can't just throw up a massive apartment complex there. Because new supply is so restricted, the prices of the existing historic homes just keep climbing.
And then just a few blocks away, you have the Nations, also 37209, but a totally different story.
Completely different. The Nations has been rapidly redeveloped over the last 7 years. Developers came in, tore down small post-war homes, and built two tall and skinny houses on a single lot.
Right. You see those everywhere now.
The sheer volume of new high-end builds has driven the neighborhood's price floor up incredibly fast.
And of course, the darling of them all, East Nashville. But let me push back on this entire category for a second.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the math in the guide we just published. And East Nashville or Sylvan Park buy-in is easily 550 to 700 grand. If I'm paying a 7% mortgage on that and I can only rent it for $3,000 a month, I am taking a significant monthly loss.
Oh, absolutely.
So why on earth would I intentionally buy a property that loses me hundreds of dollars every single month?
If you're looking at it purely as an income replacement vehicle, like if you need this property to pay your grocery bill, it's a terrible investment.
Right.
But you have to look at the profile of the investor buying in these neighborhoods. These are usually high income earners, a surgeon, a tech executive. They have a massive primary income and they're using these properties for long-term wealth generation and, crucially, tax benefits.
Walk me through the mechanics of that. How does losing money actually help them?
Well, in these high-demand neighborhoods, housing prices have simply outpaced rental rates. A young professional will pay a premium to live near the craft breweries in the nations, but they won't pay enough to cover a 7% mortgage on a $700,000 house.
So the math just doesn't work for cash flow.
Right. Your cap rate compresses down to maybe 3%. Yes, you bleed cash monthly, but let's look at the 10-year horizon. If you can float $500 a month in negative cash flow, you're buying an asset that might see 40 to 60% appreciation over that decade.
And what about the taxes?
Plus, the IRS allows you to write off the depreciation of that incredibly expensive house against your high active income, which lowers your overall tax bill.
Got it. So the equity buildup and the tax savings far outweigh the monthly loss. It's a wealth preservation strategy, assuming you have the deep pockets to stay at the table.
Exactly.
Now, let's talk about the places you shouldn't even sit down at the table. Our latest article highlights three specific areas that are absolute traps for investors in 2026.
The first one brings us right back to the flooded valley we talked about earlier, downtown high-rise condos.
Right. If you buy a $400,000 condo downtown today, you are directly competing with those brand new, amenity-rich buildings.
The ones literally giving away 2 months of free rent to poach your tenants.
And the hidden killer on condos is the homeowners association fee.
Oh, absolutely. The guide mentions HOA fees of $350 to $700 a month. And the thing about HOA fees is they never go down. They only go up. That instantly destroys whatever tiny sliver of margin you had left. It's a mathematical dead end for a standard rental.
Okay, what's the second trap?
The second trap is looking for cash flow in Brentwood or Franklin.
Now, these are objectively beautiful areas, incredible schools, massive lots, but the rental math is completely broken, isn't it?
Completely. You might buy a home for $850,000, but the rental ceiling in that area might cap out around $3,500 a month. The cap rates are abysmal, hovering around 2.5%.
So you're losing money even with a big down payment.
You will see massive negative cash flow.
You know, buying a Brentwood home for a rental feels like buying a multi-million dollar luxury yacht.
And then trying to use it as a commercial fishing boat.
Yes, exactly. It's a gorgeous, incredibly valuable asset. But the utility is completely wrong for the job you're trying to force it to do. It's just the wrong tool.
It really is. And the third trap is one that constantly catches out-of-state investors. Short-term rental plays. Airbnbs.
Yeah, people fly in for a weekend, see Broadway, and think Nashville is just a giant bachelorette party where they can print money with Airbnbs anywhere in the city.
And that assumption will cost you dearly. Non-owner-occupied short-term rentals are outright banned in residential zoning districts. That's your R, RS, and RM zones.
And we should explain why. It's because, over the last few years, local residents heavily pushed back. They were tired of living next to party houses with bachelorette groups screaming on the patio on a Tuesday night.
Can you blame them?
Not at all. The city listened and clamped down hard.
Exactly. You can only get non-owner-occupied permits in very specific commercial zones now, and even then, there are strict density caps. If you buy a house, assuming you can Airbnb it without verifying the zoning with metro codes, you are walking into a financial disaster.
So we've covered where to go for cash flow, where to go for equity, and where the traps are. But if retail properties are bleeding money and the luxury market is oversupplied,
yeah.
How are the professionals actually making money in Nashville today?
They're using the BRRR method. BRRR. It stands for buy, rehab, rent, refinance, repeat. This is the real investor playbook in 2026.
Let's run the exact math from the guide we just published, because this is where the magic actually happens.
Let's take a typical scenario in Antioch. Instead of buying a clean, move-in ready house off the MLS for $320,000, you find a distressed, ugly, three-bedroom property. You buy for $210,000.
Okay, so I'm in for $210,000.
Then you put $45,000 into a smart, efficient rehab. You put in luxury vinyl, plank floors, fresh paint, and update the kitchen hardware. Now, your total all-in cost is $255,000.
Got it.
Because of the work you did, you've forced appreciation. The after-repair value, or ARV, of that house is now $340,000. You go to a commercial lender, and you do a cash-out refinance at a 75% loan-to-value ratio.
Okay, wait, slow down.
So the bank agrees the house is worth $340,000, and they lend you 75% of that. 75% of $340,000 is $255,000.
Hold on. So I buy it, fix it, and the bank gives me a loan for $255,000, which is exactly the amount of cash I spent to buy and rehab the house in the first place. I just pulled all my original capital right back out.
Yep.
That sounds like a late-night infomercial scam. How does a bank actually allow that?
They allow it because the asset is now worth significantly more. You create an equity buffer through the renovation, the bank has a newly remodeled asset as collateral, and you get to recycle your capital.
Wow.
You put a tenant in the property paying market rent, and you have all your initial cash back in your pocket to go do it again.
Okay, here is where I have to play devil's advocate and give a reality check. The math sounds amazing, but this is not passive income. Dealing with contractors, pulling permits, managing timelines, this is a full-time job.
It absolutely is. You are managing a construction project.
And even after it's rented, the expenses are very real. You have to budget 8 to 10% for property management. You have to budget for 1 month of vacancy a year. And let's not forget insurance.
Right.
The guide notes that property insurance premiums went up 12 to 15% recently.
And that spike is driven by the broader severe weather patterns we've seen.
Mm.
Tornadoes, hail, and the inflation on building materials if an insurer actually has to rebuild a house. You cannot ignore those numbers.
You really can't.
If you try to execute a BRRRR and you underbudget your rehab or your holding costs, you will get crushed. This is why investors absolutely need to buy 15 to 30% below retail value to have a margin of safety.
Which, bringing it full circle, is exactly what we specialize in at Run Home Rentals. We find those distressed off-market opportunities that give you the room to actually make the math work.
It really is the only way the math truly works in this current cycle. You have to manufacture the equity yourself.
So what does this all mean for you, the listener? Let's wrap this up. Nashville still has incredible, undeniable fundamentals. We have Oracle's new headquarters going in, the massive Amazon expansion, 18 million tourists visiting a year, and no state income tax.
The economic engine isn't stopping.
But in 2026, the market rewards precision and strategy. It does not reward just blindly throwing a dart at a map.
The fundamentals are solid, but you have to respect the data. And, you know, if we connect this to the bigger picture, I want to leave everyone with an important, provocative question to think about.
Okay, let's hear it.
We talked about how developers overbuilt the urban luxury apartments. As those massive institutional developers realize that the Class A urban market is completely saturated, what is their next move?
Oh, that's interesting.
Will they pivot?
Yeah.
Will they start buying up massive tracts of land and building entire build-to-rent suburban subdivisions?
Oh, wow.
And if they do that, if thousands of corporate-owned, purpose-built rental homes suddenly hit the suburbs in 2028 or 2029, will that flood the market out there? Will that new supply compress the cap rates and kill the margins in our current cash flow havens like Antioch and Madison?
So the flooded valley could literally expand outward into the suburbs. That is a fascinating and honestly slightly terrifying thought to ponder. The landscape is always shifting and you have to stay ahead of it.
Absolutely.
That's it for this episode of the Run Home Rentals podcast.
Visit runhomerentals.com for the full article and resources.
If you need a cash offer on your Nashville home, call us at 615-628-7460.
Subscribe on YouTube and we'll see you next Monday.